The Morning Farm News is being sponsored by Mike's Repair in Owatonna, your one-stop automotive shop, and also Carl Stickelberg and Dairyland Seed. John Dvorak is the manager of the Rice County Fair, but we aren't going to talk too much about the Rice County Fair. John, you're also very involved in the sheep industry, and here a while ago I heard that the wolf was delisted as an endangered species. I guess I never paid that much attention to it because down here in southern Minnesota, it's not much of an issue. But I remember going to like the Minnesota Farmers Union and the Minnesota Farm Bureau annual meetings, and cattlemen that were at those meetings, there was always talk about wolves, and apparently their population is increasing and the wolves were attacking, taking a lot of cattle, especially smaller calves. And it's a big deal for the sheep industry too, I guess.
You're right, Jerry, it is. And so way back, probably in the late 70s to mid 80s, Wildlife Services, decided there is a problem with the wolf population. And so they started a program to regenerate the wolf population so it wouldn't become extinct. And lo and behold, all the problems that they faced, and the wolves rebounded. But one of the things I think they learned from this is, you know, they just didn't have a program in place when they started off because they didn't know how successful it was going to be. And the wolf population has grown and grown, and it's actually outgrown what they originally expected and what's good for the conservation out there. So, you know, the Great Lakes regions is kind of Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and then states farther out west. Where the wolf is heavily populated, especially the gray wolf. And those are the areas that they're concerned with and that they concentrated on to regenerate the wolf population. And it was very successful. I think Wildlife Services should be commended on the program that was as successful as it is. But now, you know, it's kind of going the other way. And it's to a point where we need to manage the wolves. You know, when you look at conservation, what's conservation? I mean, conservation is the good of all for all wild animals. And the wolf population has just grown so big. I mean, I've seen reports and I've seen pictures. I haven't witnessed it firsthand, but I've seen the pictures. When a wolf is hungry, he'll go out and take an animal and he'll devour this animal. But when wolves get too strong and are in a big pack, now it becomes a game for them and they play for them. And I've heard many stories from producers and ranchers. There was one in Wisconsin in particular that they lost 30 years of genetics one night because wolves got into their flock of sheep and they destroyed all but three or four sheep. And the one that didn't die right away had to be euthanized. But what they did here, Jerry, is they actually played for them. Over a 30-acre pasture, there was snow on the ground, and these sheep were scattered around this whole 30-acre pasture. They were finding parts of their bodies in different places being dismembered. And when it gets to that point, they're playing with them at that point. You know, it becomes a game to them. So, you know, that's countless stories we've been hearing about that. Producers, especially in northern Minnesota, were losing calves, had no way to really safely go out there without getting in trouble and shooting a wolf. So by delisting them, now that turned it over to the states. And Colin Peterson back in February authored a bill with several other representatives to allow the wolf population to be controlled by the states. And so that's what's happened. The wolves have been delisted. We've kind of taken the federal part out of it and have turned it over to the states. And now the states are going to be able to manage how they're going to control the wolf population in their own state. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of battles yet till that's figured out. But we have to find a happy medium here. We can't allow these animals to be getting stronger and stronger and the producers suffering. So there's got to be a medium base that we can figure out here that's going to protect ranchers, farmers, and producers, but yet it's going to protect the wolf also so it does not become extinct. And by all means, do the farmers want to get rid of the wolves? completely. That's not on the plan of theirs, but what they want to do is see it controlled so they can coexist together. And I really think that, you know, we have individuals here in Minnesota that are going to be able to study that and figure it out. And we need to give it time. And I think that there's going to be able to come up with a solution here that everybody will be happy with.
Were wolves native to this area or to northern Minnesota, and then they weren't here, and that's why then they reintroduced them?
The gray wolf has always been native to Minnesota, the way I've been told and understand. I think, you know, their existence is in a heavy populated wooded area. And, you know, of course, Minnesota has up north has a lot of forests, and I think that's where they mainly started out as, you know, and which goes to show because, you know, you're right, Jerry, when you opened up the segment here, we haven't had that problem. I mean, it's been a once in a great while that we'll probably see a wolf migrate down here. Does that happen? Yes. Does it happen all the time? Probably not. But occasionally, I'm sure that a wolf can find its way down here. But, you know, it's not in its comfort zone here, so chances are it's not going to stay around. You know, this is something that we've been, I've been involved with for the past 10, 12 years. You know, I've been to many hearings on it. I've been to Washington, D.C. and talked to representatives about this. And, you know, what can we do to curb the damage that the wolves are doing? Actually, here in Minnesota, we've had more wolves in Minnesota than they've had in the whole state of Alaska since this regeneration. So that goes to show you that, you know, the bringing the wolves back was successful, and it's now to the point where we need to manage it. And managing it so everybody's happy is what's going to be the big key to the success here.
Well, when I heard the announcement that the gray wolf was being delisted, then, of course, there was someone representing some environmental group who was all upset, saying that the wolf shouldn't be delisted, they should still be protected. But then I happen to think if they get in too large of numbers and get into these packs and kind of turn vicious, they won't just stop with sheep or with cattle or calves. They could wipe out the deer population or other species too, couldn't they, if they get too dominant?
Very much so, Jerry. So you're right. They're not just going to go off to farm animals. Actually, you know, they're probably going to start with the deer population first because that's more native to the area that they're in. You know, the deer coexist with the wolves. And you're right. If they do get too big and strong, they start running in packs, and that's when all the problems come in. You know, it's the ecosystem. It's you know, wolves are going to prey on deer, and that's how they survive. But yet, you know, they're not going to wipe out the deer population where the deer are going to be able to keep rejuvenating. And you know, that's what conservation is all about. It's finding a balance so all of these species can survive. And, you know, don't do harm to farmers and ranchers that are, you know, in this to make a living. It's their business. And there's generations of genetics that a lot of these producers have in their herds and in their flock of sheep. And, you know, it's not fair to them to see that being wiped out just so we can save the wolves. But at the same time, it's not fair to wipe out the wolves so the producer and the ranchers feel safe. So there's that happy medium that where we need to consent to that everybody is going to be happy with the numbers.
Now, where do we go from here, John? The federal government and endangered species, all of that is out of the picture. Now it's up to Minnesota. So is it really the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources or the Minnesota Department of Agriculture? Who takes it from here then on directing what we do with the gray wolf in Minnesota?
Well, I'm sure, Jerry, there'll be a task force that'll be put together, and I'm sure that a lot of it will fall under the wildlife or DNR, the Department of Natural Resources. I'm sure that, you know, they'll probably take the bull by the horn here, and they'll put together a consortium of people that will study this and figure out a way for this to happen.
Well, let's change gears for just a second. John, I was out to the fairgrounds to vote on Tuesday, And guess what? The ugly bathroom was gone, and there's another one going up in its place. It looked like they had the walls up already.
Yeah, the walls are up, and they're working on the plumbing into the building now, and I think they're scheduled to start putting on trusses here in the near future, so they'll get it enclosed and get the floors poured, and hopefully we'll be able to use it for a fair next year. I'm sure the bathroom will be done. I'm just worried about having a fair next year, so hopefully they go hand in hand and we can enjoy both.
It looked kind of similar. It was a black building, black walls that they were putting up, but maybe looked a little bit taller than the old one.
It is a little bit taller, Jerry. I think it's about 2 feet taller. The footprint of the building is the same footprint that was there prior to that. They were able to reuse the existing footings that were there supporting the old building, so they just went off of that. And it'll have the same number of toilets in it, and it'll have a few more sinks. It'll just be more updated, and it'll be a fresher bathroom. And really looking forward to this getting completed, and we'll have a new bathroom, and people will be able to enjoy it.
And it won't have any showers in it, will it?
Yeah, it'll have a shower stall in it. We have showers that we provide for individuals that camp in their campers. So they'll be able to use the showers. It's just going to be updated, more modern, cleaner, refreshing look. And the big thing, Jerry, it's going to be ADA accessible, which the old bathroom was not ADA accessible. So people on wheelchairs will be able to use it. There'll be stalls for the handicap. So touchless water faucets and touchless toilet flushers. So it's going to be a pretty modern bathroom, and one that'll be up to date. And hopefully this other one was built in 1940, and the addition was put on in 1965 to make it bigger. So that was a long time, and I think this one hopefully will outlive what that one did.
John Dvorak, the manager of the Rice County Fair, and of course, John also been very involved in the sheep industry for the last number of years. And the Morning Farm News was sponsored by Carl Steckelberg and Dairyland Seed, along with Mike's Repair in Owatonna.